Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 127. Psalm chapter 127. We'll be speaking this morning on giving your children to the Lord's work. Giving your children to the Lord's work. And let's pray, and we'll go forward. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for, Lord, bringing us all here today, this morning. Thank you for giving us the desire to be here. Thank you for giving us the health and the opportunity to be here, Lord, for taking care of us in the week behind us. And Lord, thank you for the songs that have been sung, Lord. And we do pray now, Lord, help us as we look at thy word. Thy Holy Spirit would remove the darkness that Satan attempts to blind us. And Lord, open our hearts. Lord, teach us from thy word, I pray this morning. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin the message this morning by asking each of you, parents, grandparents even, to ask yourself these questions. But this is mainly aimed at parents, but grandparents can also be involved in this and be a great benefit in this. But here are the questions to ask. What is my purpose in having children? Or what am I raising my children to do with their lives? Am I raising my children for my own pleasure and happiness? Or am I raising them to bring honor and glory to the Lord? What is my ambition for their lives? And what will make me happy to see them accomplish with their lives? Are my children mine? Or are they given to me by God to raise and to train up in the Lord's admonition and then to give back to the Lord for his service? You know, basically, as a parent, when your children go out, what will make you feel like I've been a success? I did it right. I trained them right by what they are doing. And, you know, will that be, you know, if our children go out and they get a good job, they make a good living, they have a house, they have a car or cars, they have, you know, they have a good job, their future is set as much as you can set your future here in America today and think that you have job security. Is that what we look at as being successful as Christian parents? Our children going out and making it in the world? What will make us feel like we've been successful? 30 years ago, I graduated from Christian high school, as we mentioned in our DVD this morning. 26 years ago from Bible college, 25 years ago went to the mission field. And as I look back at my graduating class and, you know, in Christian school, in Bible college, think about what they have done. You know, when I was in Christian school, it was the age of Christian schools. The churches across America were opening up Christian schools. And when we came back from the mission field, one of our first furloughs, it was the age of the Bible colleges. Bible colleges were opening up all over America. And now it's the age of homeschooling. And I think about, you know, all of those children who have grown up in good Christian schools, who have gone to good Bible colleges, graduated, gone out into the world, mostly here in America. What has been the effect? Is America better today than it was 30 years ago? Or 20 years ago? Or 10 years ago? The older people here, they may say, well, what about 40, 50, or 60? But we're talking about this, you know, the explosion of the Christian schools, the explosion of the Bible colleges, all of our children going to good Christian schools, good Bible colleges, being trained in God's Word, graduating, going out into the country. Are we better? Is our country better? And we will say, no. Why is that? Why have our children not had a great effect on our country? Positive spiritual effect. We, you know, they say that Christianity is the majority in America. But we don't see it. So many good Christian children graduate from school with the goal of making it good in the world and living a good life for themselves. Giving their all to serve the Lord is not really in their minds. But who is to blame? I believe that we as parents are mostly to blame. We have not trained up our children to seek the Lord's face and His service. We have not shown them by our lives that service to the Lord is our ultimate calling. But we have shown them by our lives that success, living the good life in the world, is what is most important. We can put our children in good Christian schools. We can send them to good Bible colleges. You know, we can say with our mouths one thing, but they look at how we live. They look at what our goals are, what our ambitions are, what our focus is. That's what they look at. You know, it's not what we say, it's what we do. And that is true. You know, we look at the world and the success stories. You know, we have these people, the movie stars and the rich people. And they have everything. They can buy what they want. They can do what they want. But do they have happiness? Do they have peace? Do they have joy? You know, they win the world, but they lose their own soul. The problem is that we as Christian parents, if that is our goal, if our goal is making it in the world, if our goal is having that land, having that house, having those cars, having that retirement, if that is our goal, that will be, for the majority of our children, their goal. It's the few who will say, no, 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 I have caught the vision of serving the Lord. I have caught the vision of being, of my life being for God's service. You know, I understand. I come here as a missionary, and so, you know, I can believe, do believe that being a missionary is the ultimate calling. Going to a foreign country is the ultimate calling. Okay? But I understand that God does not call all of us to be missionaries. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, you know, that we are to reach our Jerusalem. And so God calls most of us to our Jerusalem, to the local area that we, most of us have grown up in or have come to because of work, our local area. So we are called to work in our local area, in our Jerusalem. Some are called to go a little further out in Samaria or Judea. Some are called to go out into the world. And so most of us are called to work a normal job. And we are to work. The Bible says we are to work for our living. But in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? Well, before that it talks about food and clothing. You know, God knows that we need food and clothing, a house, a car, and whatever. He knows our physical needs. We have physical needs. He knows that we have those needs, and He promises to help us. But He says that we are to first seek Him and His service, to do His will, to our lives to be focused, our vision, our desires to be serving Him. Whether it be in Jerusalem with a normal job, or in Judea or Samaria, or whether it be as a full-time pastor or missionary or evangelist or somebody like that, He knows. He asks us, though, He tells us that our first focus, our vision, our desire, our passion is to be serving the Lord. And if we do that, then as parents or grandparents, then our children will catch that vision also. In Psalm chapter 127, we need to see that we as parents, we need to give our children to the Lord's work. The first thing we see here in chapter 127 is that children are a gift from God. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, what does it say? It says, listen, it is vain, in verse 2, rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows. What is he saying? It's in the, you know, that's talking about work. It's talking about making a living. It's talking about success. It's talking about building ourselves. Say, hey, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to build myself. Verse 1 talks about building your house or building the city. Okay? You know, talking about doing our, you know, I'm going to be a success. I'm going to make the effort. I'm going to, you know, rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows. Okay? Make that effort to be successful. But he says, it's vain. You read Ecclesiastics, and Solomon says, you know, you can make the greatest effort in the world. You can do anything you think you know. I mean, he had the ability to do that. He said, I've tried all these things. I've built the big houses. I've built the big, you know, monuments. I've built the gardens. I've done all these things that people will look at as being successful and say, wow. He says, but it's vanity. It doesn't bring joy or peace, happiness to the heart. It's not. It is not an internal thing. Okay? And so if that is our goal, is being a success in the worldly way, the Bible says it's vain. The verse 3 says, lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. He says, oh no. He says, listen, the true wealth, our true wealth, is our children. But it's not just having children. You know, in Suriname, the people we work with have lots of children. And they aren't necessarily so really concerned about whether their children are fed very well or clothed very well. They just want to have lots of children. So they have multiple wives and they have lots of children. Okay? Now they do desire today, in the last how many years, they do want them to go to school. They do see education as a good thing. But that's not really their concern so much as in having lots of children. And you know, my business friends in the capital city, they're not from the same culture or race that we work with. And they'll look at me and say, how many children do you have? I said, oh, I have 9. Oh. They said, you have been, the word in Dutch is besmet. You have been sort of tarnished. You've worked with those people out there in the jungle too long, you know, and you have lots of children like they have lots of children, you know. And one of the questions that many times will be asked of us, of our cultural people, but not living in the jungle, living in the capital city, when they'll see, when they'll realize that there's 3 of us brothers working in the same country, one brother working with me, one working in the capital city, and excuse me, the 2 of us look somewhat similar. My oldest brother, myself, our build is pretty close, the same. My other brother that works with me looks like my mother's family, comes from that side. He's thinner, thinner face, different build. And so they'll look at us and they'll go, oh, you're 3 brothers. And then they'll ask the question, one father, one mother? Say yes. Oh. You know? And that is very, very common. You go to government offices to do paperwork and they'll want to know, for your children, one father, one mother? And that's just the culturally accepted thing in the country. And so, you know, they look and say, oh, you have lots of children. Well, having children is not the thing. It's not just having children. It is training them up to serve the Lord. And that was my wife and I, when we were each child, we were looking at conceiving a child. Lord, give us a child, but not for us, Lord, that we may raise that child up to serve you. And after they were born, Lord, help us in doing this. So it says here that as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of youth. Happy is man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. Well, if our children go out and do wrong, we will be ashamed. You know, oh, you're so-and-so's child? You know, that's not nice. When our children go out and do right, we are not ashamed. And it says in the end of the verse, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It's talking about protecting the city. Because you know, back then, the cities had walls around them, and the weakest point was the gate. The enemy was going to attack, try to break the gate down and come through first before trying to break down the stone walls. So you put your best men, you know, your special forces or whatever. You'd have them at the gate. So to have your son at the gate speaking with the enemy, and it wasn't talking by mouth, okay? It was slaying the enemy, protecting your city. That was a great honor. You know, that was, hey, that's my son. Okay? Now look in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, we get the other side. And of course, you know the greater portion of Proverbs 31 is about the wife and the mother and all the things that she does in the home. And the last verse says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That same phrase again, praising her in the gates. Or in the gates. Okay? The mother, the wife who works with her children, who works with her husband, and who does what she needs to do in the home, her children going out, also known, her husband going out, also known in the gates, where the judges sit, where the important people are, known in the gates. Not ashamed, but known in a good sense. Okay? And so they, children are a gift from God. They are our true wealth. They are our true wealth. There in Suriname, Caleb would know the name Mr. Lee. He died about a month or so ago, I think now. Chinese man, retired and so forth, had lots of stuff, owned how many properties in Mungo, had no children. Handicapped wife in a wheelchair, cared for her lovingly. But when you drive by his house, he was always out working. Always out there in the sun, working away every day. Always working. And people said, man, he owns all these properties. He's always working. He's always gathering more stuff. Who's it going to when he dies? He has no children. He's wealthy. But what's the benefit? Where's it going? And he died. My brother saw him one day out working. And the next morning, he heard he died in the night. He won the world, he had the world, he had wealth, but he had nothing. Our children are our true wealth. In Genesis chapter 33, verse 5, Jacob, you know, when Jacob had fled from Esau, and God said, it's time to go back home again. And he's going back home, and he hears Esau's coming to meet him. He says, oh no, is Esau still mad at me? Is he still wanting to kill me? You know? And so he sends these gifts ahead to Esau, and then a nice guy, he takes his four wives and says, my least favorite wife, put her in the front with my least favorite children, you know, and my next wife, and me and my favorite wife back here in the back, and maybe Esau will get tired of slaying people, and by the time he gets to me, he'll stop. Real nice, you know. And so, of course, Esau arrives there and runs up, gives him a big hug, and Esau says, hey, who are all these people? I mean, he's seen these groups, you know. Who are all these people? So, oh, these are the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Remember the Christian film Courageous? One of the male characters gets up there, he puts on his new suit, you know, and he says, wow, I feel like a rich man. And his wife says, no. You're not a rich man because of the new suit. You're a rich man because of your children and your wife who are learning to trust God because of your faith. There's your true wealth. And so our children are a gift from God. But our children are not ours to keep. Think of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, where Hannah was praying for a son. Of course, you know, in the Jewish culture and many cultures around the world, including the culture that I work in, you know, having children is very important. And if you don't have children, it is a shame. And so Hannah was praying for a son. But she promised, Lord, give me a son and I will give him back. And she did. Verse 27, 28, she takes her son back to the tabernacle to Eli and says, I prayed for this son and I brought him back to serve the Lord. Was she sad? You know, did she want to give up her son that she prayed so hard for and cried for? I'm sure she was sad, but she knew son was not hers. Her son was for God's service. And so our children are to be given back to God to be used for his service. We do not know what that service might be. We do not know where that service might be. But we are to train them up in God's word to be given back to his service. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Talking to the parents. Yes? Repeated in Matthew chapter 22. The Lord Jesus repeated that as one of the great commandments, the two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So we as parents are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our might. That's to be our vision, our desire, whether or not we're full-time Christian servants, or whether we're laymen, or whether we're just, you know, regular Christians in the pew. In whatever way God has us, that is to be our desire to love him and serve him with everything we have. And then we are to be teaching our children. The idea is, you know, morning, noon, night, inside the house, outside the house, whenever, wherever, we are to be teaching our children to love God the same way. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God says of Abraham, he says, I know that Abraham will teach his children and his household to obey God's word. But you know, the book of Proverbs is full of the phrase, my son, my son. I'm sure it applies to daughters too, okay? But you know, my son listen, my son heed, my son do, you know, it's full of that. But it's not talking about the father's teaching or the mother's teaching their children the wisdom of the world. It's talking about teaching them about God's word. True wisdom. True knowledge. We are to be training up our children to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. Proverbs 1, chapter 7, chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Of course, that phrase there, ornament of grace and chains about thy neck, is talking about riches and honor. We want our children to be successful. They need God's blessing. If they will listen to God's word, heed God's word, God will bless them. Of course, you know that also in 1 Samuel, when Samuel was there in the working with Eli, and of course God came to Samuel and spoke to him. What did he say? He said, listen, Eli, I've warned Eli, his sons are not doing right. They're bringing shame to God's name. He needs to correct them, but he hasn't corrected them. They're going to die. I think that was the last warning. Eli had gotten busy and corrected his sons and took them out of their position and made things right. You know, because God didn't give that warning okay, they're going to die. Okay, oh well, you know. No, it was a last warning. Do something or else. And he didn't listen. Of course, his sons were killed and Eli also died. Eli got a bad name. And so our children are a gift from God, but they're not ours to keep. We are to be raising them up to when that day comes for them to go forth, they are to go forth to serve the Lord. Not to serve the world, but to serve the Lord. Think of the mother of Moses. You know, when Moses was born, the Bible says that his parents looked at him and said, hey, that's a special child. How do they know that? And I've heard many mothers say, babies, you know, a brand new baby, oh, what a beautiful child, what a beautiful baby. Well, I've never seen one of those. I've been involved in 9 births. Been the first or second person to hold that baby, you know. Whether it was the midwife was the first person or not, you know, or me. You know, and when I looked at that baby in my hands, it was not a beautiful baby. You know, all red and splotchy and you know, they're not beautiful when they're first born. Okay? So Moses' mother did not look at Moses and say, oh, what a beautiful baby. You know. No, God put in their hearts that God had a special job for that baby. And when she put that baby in the basket and put him out there in the water, you know, she knew in her heart that God was going to give him back, but not to keep. She had to give him up to the Lord's word. Think of the mother of John the Baptist. You know, the angel tells Zechariah, says, hey, your wife's going to have a baby, and he's going to do a special job. And of course, she was, you know, when she found out, she was elated. But that son wasn't for her. That son was to be given back up to the Lord's work. You know, when he was killed, was she sad? Sure she was. You know, the mothers and fathers of missionaries down through the years. You know, the early missionaries, they didn't fly to the mission field. They went by sailing boat. It wasn't even steamship way back then, you know. They went by sailing ship. So whether they were going from England to China or India or Burma or wherever there, if they're coming from America, going to Africa. You know, when the mom and dad said goodbye to their son or daughter going off to the mission field, whether it was in the homeland or whether it was at the port, when they said goodbye, they had very little hope that they were ever going to see that child again. Many missionaries died on the ship going over. Many missionaries died shortly after arriving over there. It was the few who came back home. I remember my dad talking about his mother. He said his mother prayed, Lord, I have 2 sons. She only had 2 children. I have 2 sons, Lord. Take them to the mission field. And with tears of joy, I'm sure there was sadness mixed in there, with tears of joy, she watched her first son, my father, going off to Africa. And a couple years later, she watched her second son going off to Brazil. Tears of joy. Lord, you answered my prayer. You took my sons to the mission field. I've only seen them. You know, she got to see her sons a few more times in earthly life because they have both been on the mission field for 60-some years. My grandparents on my mother's side are all buried in Zaire, Africa. My uncles and aunts are all buried in Africa. My mother is the only sibling left of her family. And she expects to be buried in Suriname. My cousins are still over in Africa, Zaire or South Africa or other countries there. We're lifelong missionaries. We're lifetimers. We want to be buried with our boots on in the country where God has put us. Some years ago, sometime after last furlough, 2010, the European countries were getting upset with America sticking their nose into the business of Europe. They said, what right does America have to put their nose in our business? Tell us if we're doing things right or wrong. And somebody, I don't even know who it was, sent me an email with some pictures. There were pictures of graveyards in Europe full of little white crosses of American soldiers buried in Europe, World War I, World War II. Said, oh, we have a right. We died for your freedom. We ought to be able to say something about what's going on. It's interesting. The early missionaries, when they died in the foreign field, they were buried in the foreign field. Now, David Livingston, what was that? They said, David Livingston, oh, you can take his body back to England, but we're taking his heart out because his heart was here in Africa. And our soldiers were buried on the foreign field. Today, missionaries die in the foreign field, they're flown back to America. Soldiers die, they're flown back to America. Our commitment, our ideas have changed. We need to give ourselves as parents totally to serve the Lord. And our children need to see that in us. We need to realize that children are a gift from God, but they're not ours to keep. They are to be raised up in admonition of the Lord and then sent out to serve Him. The children realize that that is our life goal, is serving Him. Our vision, our passion. Then our children will catch the same vision. So once again, let us ask the questions. What is my purpose in having children? Or what am I raising my children to do with their lives? Am I raising my children for my own pleasure and happiness? Or am I raising them to bring honor and glory to the Lord? What is my ambition for their lives? And what will make me happy to see them accomplish with their lives? Are my children mine? Or are they given to me by God to raise and to train up the Lord's admonition and then to give back to the Lord for His service? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for Thy Word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us direction as parents. How to live our lives, and Lord, how to train up our children, that they may live for Thee also. Lord, help us, Lord, as parents, grandparents, to live for Thee, to be the right examples, that our children may know that our life, our passion, our vision is, Lord, to serve Thee, accomplish Thy will. And Lord, that they may catch that vision. And Lord, that our children, grandchildren, may have an impact, a positive impact, a spiritual impact on our country and on our world. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.